we're back in Assam, India. Okay? Assam, India was a territory that housed quite a little operation, quite a big operation. The Flying Tigers, the Flying Tigers, was a volunteer group of Americans that got hooked into the war. Originally, they were flying. They were civilians working for China and doing a big operation for China. We won't get into that. We want to stay on the Burma Road right now. But that American government says that the Flying Tigers must be, they were Americans. And they were flying American planes working for the Chinese government before World War II. And they got hooked into World War II, so they were the best they are. Flying Tigers were the best they are. And they were based in Lido, India, inside of where I was staying. And also, the Maros Marauders were there. Maros Marauders was a volunteer group that volunteered to go into Burma on a mission that American history can tell you about very easily. If you just read about the Maros Marauders, they were there. And then there was an air base at Lido, India, that flew planes across the hump. They called it the hump. And the reason they called it the hump, it was the Himalayas. And that was the nickname they had for the Himalayas. And they only flew planes from Kunming, China to Lido, India. And this happened like, how often? Sometimes if you count 5 minutes and the other plane didn't come in, you could assume that he was crashed in the mountains. The mountainous rough territory was so rough that occasionally one plane just hit an air pocket in the sky. And he was a goner. They crashed. Very often they crashed in those mountains. And they didn't get... They lost those planes. They lost the people in those planes. And we had a lot of people tell us, a lot of pilots tell us stories about going over to China and picking the Chinese soldiers and bringing them back to India. And what they were doing... My outfit that I was attached to at the time in the driver's school was training those troops to drive trucks. And when they graduated from the driver's school, they was assigned to a convoy to drive the hump back to China. That was to get drivers. Then we had American outfits. I know there was a 45, there was a trucking outfit, and this outfit was all black people.
This was the segregation was still going on then, wasn't it?
Yes, and it was the 45th quartermaster, and they were based in this area, waiting to drive their trucks to China. And I don't know if they made more than one trip or if they made, how many trips they made. They may have flew them back by plane back to Lido and let them drive a second trip. I don't know. But when I was in this driver school for like 6 months, and we'd take these troops through like 3 weeks training, then we'd take them on practice convoy. And this practice convoy took us to Hell's Gate. Hell's Gate was the India-Burma border. And the first mountain, the first real big mountain, was 7 miles high at Hell's Gate. But that's the beginning of the Himalayas. And we'd take them up to Hell's Gate and back to the driving range, probably 20 miles. And It was real, real rough territory. It wasn't like the Himalayas, but it was still rough territory. It was like maybe Chiha Mountain here, you know, or worse than that, because it was one mountain after another. And that's how we trained these troops to drive convoys. And it would only be like me and a couple of other guys that went on this training mission, mm-hmm. like convoy. I'd either be on the rear of the convoy or the head of the convoy, depending on which. And then there'd be an officer in charge. And the troops that was training the Chinese troops. These Chinese troops couldn't learn to drive a truck because they didn't understand too much. They didn't understand. And we had an interpreter that would get them together, and they'd all sit and listen to us talk about the trucks in English. The interpreter would tell them what we said. And I learned quite a bit about the Chinese language doing this, but not enough to talk about it.
You speak several languages, not real fluently.
Well,
enough.
And I could tell them to speed up or slow down. I could tell them to check the oil or gas. Jiayou, jiayou. Jiayou. Jiayou is a go fast signal. But it really means gasoline. Okay? Give it the gas, okay? That. And I don't know how. Everything in China is backwards from the United States. If you say how are you, it's how you are. Ding ha is very good. Okay, on with the troops. Then we take the troops when they graduate. Then the army takes them and assigns them to a convoy. I mean, we don't see them anymore, okay? We don't want to go along with them. not that we didn't train them well, but, you know, they're not as good of drivers as the black people in the American army or the white people or the American troops. Let's say it that way. They're not as good of drivers as the American troops.
Are you ever afraid of being attacked or ambushed?
Not at this point. Later on, yeah, but not at this point. What my part of this thing was, that I left this driver's school and went to and was assigned to a thing like MASH, evacuation hospital, way up in the Hell's Gate area,
mm-hmm.
near Hell's Gate. They had a 14th Evac Hospital, and I was assigned to that thing for a few months. And it had I guess a dozen doctors and maybe 20 nurses and 100 enlisted men. And mostly we was taking Chinese troops out of it. Most of the patients was Chinese patients because they sent them down that far from the war front. And they were fighting up in the Burma Hills at that time. And that didn't last long. They kept taking this one town over and over again. Michinaw, I can't spell it, I can pronounce it. Michinaw, China. Burma, Michinaw, Burma. Americans would go in and take Michinaw from the Japs. And they'd turn it over to the Chinese, and they'd go on about their business. The Japs would come in and kill half the Chinese and take it back over again. Americans would have to come back and take it again. I don't know how many times this happened. And Michinaw was 200-300 miles from Lido. That's how close we was into the war. 200-300 miles in 1945, it was all cleared out. They was gone. The Burma Road opened up for convoys in 45, early 45, like January 1945.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer of 1945, I drove the road because I was getting ready to send me My outfit had assembled in Kunming, China. They set up the 172nd, finally set up the 172nd General Hospital in Kunming, China. And Kunming was calling all of us home, okay? As all the people that was on, that was borrowed out to other outfits was being called because we was going to operate the hospital finally. So I got called, and they wanted me to go on the next plane, and it was the guy called me into the office and said, "We got a plane leaving here tomorrow morning. It's a bomber, but they're going to stop and come to me, and you can go on the bomber. B-24 bomber from here to Kunming." And I said, "Well, can I drive?" And he said, "You're darn right you can drive. You mean you want to drive?" He said, "Look, this 145th, this all black outfit's gone." And he said, "You can drive with them. They're leaving. And the next day or so, and you can go with them." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So I joined them, and they signed me a truck, and we left out for the Himalayas for loaded trucks. The trucks was loaded with most of the convoy that I went on. My truck was number 316, because you can imagine how big this convoy was.
Mm-hmm.
My truck was, but I was near the rear. My truck was number 316. And I was driving a weapons carrier. The weapons carrier is a smaller truck than the biggest trucks. And it was the little wide, short thing it looked like. You've seen them. Little wide, short truck.
Dumpy looking.
And they had mine loaded with gasoline cans and nozzles and that sort of thing. But all the big trucks had 20 drums of gasoline on them, each one. All of that was a lot of gasoline being hauled.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day out, we passed Hell's Gate. That was the familiar territory so far that I had been up there and back, you know, so many times with training the troops. Passed Hell's Gate and hit the high mountain, the first one. At the top of that mountain, it says stop. Enter first gear before going down the other side. And I didn't stop and enter first gear. I didn't think that was necessary. But I thought it was necessary the next time because I had to ride that next truck down that hill. I had to ride the big truck in front of me down that hill to keep from burning out my brakes. But this went on all every day. 15 days of this, it took to go 1,000 miles.
Hmm.
It took 15 days and nights to go 1,000 miles, but we didn't drive at night, 15 days. We'd only drive so many miles a day, and then they knew where they had to stop every day. They had a designated area that they'd pull the trucks over. And we slept in the hammocks tied between the truck bumpers. We didn't have any place to sleep. The hammocks had a roof over them, and they had mosquito netting. Mosquitoes was real, real bad. The mosquitoes were so bad that they gave us a pill to keep from taking them. The pill was called Adderall, and it turned everybody yellow. Everybody in the outfit turned yellow. All the troops in my outfit were yellow from taking Adderall. Adderall is a substitute for quinine. Okay? Quinine probably is not really, but that pill was supposed to keep us from getting malaria fever. Well, I didn't get malaria fever, but I got bit a lot of times by mosquitoes. In India, I got by without telling you. Our bath water, we heated it by the sun.
Hmm.
It was 120 degrees in the shade. Every time the sun came out, it was 120 degrees in India during the monsoon season. The monsoon season, it rains every day for weeks and weeks and weeks. God bless. Thanks. Thanks for the rain, huh?
Really?
You couldn't make it. But on back to the hills. We got up in those hills, and every day we had a brand new day. Every day was a new day because it was, we'd see these little towns, and we'd see wild people. People were afraid of those trucks. They just wouldn't come near the road because they were afraid of those trucks. They were just wild people. Niger Indians lived back in the mountains. If they ever got anywhere near a truck, they'd run like animals.